WOC correspondent Aaron Pednotti recently sat down with Joe Nash, a librarian from the Colony Public Library, to talk about Colony's government access TV channel. This is part two of their interview.
And today I'm interviewing Joe Nash, a librarian from the Colony Public Library, about Colony Government Access TV. Last week I interviewed Joe about the type of programming provided by Colony TV and its overall history as a channel. Today I'm going to ask him about the ways that Colony TV has negotiated the challenges posed by a changing media environment, and also about the difference between public access TV and government access TV. Joe, thanks for this second interview. It's good to be talking to you again.
Sure, thank you.
So I want to start out by asking about the channel's relationship with major cable providers and whether that has changed in any way over recent years. To give you a little background on this question, I recently interviewed Jeff Kirkpatrick, the director of the Bethlehem Public Library, about a change in the funding model for Bethlehem Public Access TV. Basically, they went from being funded via a 10-year negotiated contract with the cable provider in which they received a fixed amount of money over a fixed amount of time, and then once that time was up, the contract was renegotiated, to getting a per-subscriber fee that they were that was paid every month by the cable provider. So they went from a much more fixed income model to a much more market pegged model. And he seemed mostly pleased with the result of that shift. So I'm wondering a few things. First, can you tell us about what your original funding relationship with the cable provider was and whether that model has changed? From what I understand, your funding model is government access. And while you're explaining that, can you also break down the difference between government access and public access?
Well, as far as the funding goes, I don't know all the specifics, but as far as I know, we get a set amount from Spectrum. It used to be Time Warner Verizon when we started. We get a set amount every year, and that is, I think that is it. I don't think any of the money we get is based on subscribers or anything like that. I guess we get one amount, and we use that money for that. As far as the difference, I think the difference is, I don't know the official definition, but I know in public access, a lot of shows basically, the way I understand it, anyone can have a show and or anyone can come in with something filmed on a DVD or whatever, however they do it. Maybe it's digital now, to air it, and they have to air it. With us, all our shows originate within the library, and we have, like I say, we have certain kinds of shows like Meet the Author, Senior Connect, et cetera. So we have set shows, and so that doesn't allow for people can't just come in and have a show. That's what I think the difference is. I'm not 100%. I don't know what the legal definition is, but we're government access. I mean, like I say, all the shows originate with us, I guess you could say.
Okay. And last week you were saying that the programming that you produce tends to be more informational than political, and that there don't tend to be too many shows that generate all that much controversy. And do you think that the difference between government access TV and public access TV has something to do with the difference in content in that regard?
Yes. If I know on public access, sometimes when I've seen it, sometimes there's some sort of out there stuff out on those kind of stations. Mm-hmm. Like I say, if you looked at our schedule and our host, they're more, I don't know what the right word is, but it's more, I guess we have a more of an idea of what we might be doing. Like we have a show on the arts or the storytellers or update on Albany County services or what's going on at the Albany Institute. We don't really have someone coming in and saying, I want to have my show on X or something like that. So I think that's the major difference.
Right. So it's kind of like the difference between a radio station that's maybe run by a larger body or conglomerate that has certain ideas about what programming ought to be versus like an independent radio station.
Yeah, I would say, I think we have definite ideas about the kind of shows we want. They should be informational, educational, informative, whereas I think sometimes on public, sometimes anything goes from what a few shows I've seen.
Mm-hmm. And how well is this current funding model working?
Well, it seems to be working fine. Our director of our library hasn't complained or anything, so I think it's working fine.
Okay. And can you tell us about the ways that new media, particularly digital media and the internet, have affected Colony TV? First, on the production side, has new media impacted the way you produce content?
Well, like I was saying last week, we've been doing it the same way since 2006. The only thing that's new is I think we have a digital camera is the only thing that's actually new. And other than that, I don't really know of any – or I'm sorry, our shows you can watch online. I think I mentioned that last week. So that has changed. I think when we first started doing the shows, they weren't. But then after a year or two, they got online. So you can watch them on the library's website. It's part of the Vimeo, which is where it's their warehouse, I guess you could say.
Okay.
The Vimeo channel.
Is that mainly an archive online, or do you actually put the shows online as they're playing as well?
They get edited and everything.
Okay.
So we film them and they get edited. Like, you know, we'll edit in like pictures or, you know, sound things or, you know, things like that. And then they go on the Vimeo channel, which is, I guess, organizations can have a channel on Vimeo. So when you go to the library's webpage and click on Colony TV, all the shows come up, and on the right there it says something like Vimeo. I guess they house them. I guess that's like a cloud or something. I'm not.
I see. And can you tell us anything about the shift from Time Warner to Spectrum? Has that affected Colony TV in any strong way?
Not that I know of. We've been doing it the same way since 2006. I haven't noticed any changes other than we went to a different station. When we started, the first 12 or 13 years, we were on Channel 17 within the town boundaries. Now we're on Channel 1303 if you have cable within the boundaries of the town of Colony. And we're also on the Fios, Verizon Fios, Channel 29. So usually those stations are right in a row. It used to be 17, 18, 19, which would be, I think one was Albany, one was Schenectady, one was us. I think now they're all like 1302, 3, and 4. I'm not 100% sure. I know ours is 1303, but the other ones are right. We're all next to each other on the bandwidth. I don't know what the word is.
Okay. So from everything that you've said, it sounds to me like the government access funding model and the government access production model is a fairly stable one that doesn't go through that many changes, or at least hasn't gone through
many changes. It hasn't yet. I mean, I think, you know, we're happy with the way it goes. I think we're happy that it's government access as opposed to, you know, public access. And the only new thing was, I mentioned last time, the town of Colony board meetings, they're starting to film them now. So they should be on pretty soon. I don't know when that starts, but.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for this second interview again. Joe, good to have you here.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That was WOOC correspondent Aaron Pednotti with Joe Nash talking about the ins and outs of operating Colony's government access TV channel.